Therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in today, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Just me right now, but maybe, just maybe a good friend of mine, Joni Skillbred, my very good historian compadre. She might join us because a couple things are today. One is United States Marine Corps' birthday. Congratulations to the Marine Corps. You were started, oh my goodness, on November 10th in 1775 in Philadelphia as a service branch of infantry troops capable of fighting both at sea and on land. So today's your birthday. Congratulations. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. On the 11th day of the 11th hour of 1911, an armistice went into effect. And they used to call it Armistice Day. And anyway, we're not going to get into the history of that today. But for all you veterans out there, tomorrow's your day. For all you Marines out there, my dad was a Marine. Today's your day. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Once a veteran, always a veteran. We owe so much to all of you. And thank you so much. Now, but what else is today? What is November 10th? Today, happy birthday, Fairbanks. Today is the 120th birthday of the founding of the city of Fairbanks. So we're going to have some missives with this, we might say. Go through some history, some reading. My friend Joni, I gave her a call and said, hey, it's our birthday. We did a rendition of the first birthday meal, excuse me, the first meal when they consecrated Fairbanks as the city of Fairbanks with Judge Wickersham in 1903 on November 10th. So today is 120 years. Now, who was the first mayor of Fairbanks? If you go to the city hall, you're going to see the mayors, past mayors of Fairbanks. We're missing a few photos. But they always show the first mayor as E.T. Barnett. But actually, it was Cyrus Medill, the first mayor of Fairbanks. This is an article by Joni Skillbred from 2010. I'm going to read you parts of it. The city of Fairbanks was incorporated in November of 1903. And at the same time, officially, city council was elected and they appointed the first official mayor of a new municipality. Most Fairbanks residents know that E.T. Barnett was discoverer of Fairbanks, that he was our first official mayor, but very few people know that there was another mayor and city council that preceded him. When Barnett landed at that spot and became Fairbanks in July of 1901, there's almost nothing here. He built his trading post and people started to trickle in. According to the Dawson Yukon YT newspapers, a great rush for the new camp of Fairbanks began in the January of 1903. By March of 1903, Fairbanks was becoming a boom town and was in need of some form of local government structure. Election was held between April and June of 1903, and the following persons were elected. Mayor, Cyrus Doc Medill. Council, Frank Cleary, E.T. Barnett's brother-in-law. Council, Harry Woolwich. Council, Charles Scott. Council, George Steelsmith. Council, Frank Mayes. Council George Carroll. So who was Cyrus Medill and why is he not remembered for his contributions to the early history of Fairbanks? Cyrus Metal was born in late 1860s in Illinois. He came north during the Klondike Gold Rush. He was a druggist by occupation, which resulted in the name Doc Metal. Cyrus was one of the first persons to come to Fairbanks from Dawson, and he brought everything he needed with him to establish the first drugstore in the new camp. We were a camp back then. At the time, in early 1903, Fairbanks was a rough place. Many residents of the Dawson underworld left for Fairbanks, which resulted in vice running rampant in the new town. Buildings were thrown up as fast as they could be, and by April, the town was truly booming. By 1903, Fairbanks had some of the following businesses and services that were advertised in a local newspaper. 1 machinery shop, 2 lumber and sawmills, 2 tinsmiths, 1 laundry, 1 painter, 3 freighters, 2 doctors, 11 restaurants, 1 lodging house, 3 lawyers, 1 dance hall, 4 saloons. My goodness. This fast growth created problems that could be addressed only by the form of a local government. The need for organized infrastructure was most likely the reason that prompted the first election in 1903. There are not many records that exist for the accomplishment of the first official government body, but the Yukon Daily Morning Sun, boy, that's a long name, Yukon Daily Morning Sun from Dawson, quotes early October Fairbanks paper with some details of this early government. It names each person the offices held and mentions that a committee was formed to locate a suitable site for a cemetery due to the death of Al Foster, who was the first death in the new town. This indicates that the Clay Street Cemetery was established by this illegal government entity. This accomplishment is one of the last today that, in spite of the fact that its establishment was technically an illegal act. The basic layout of the new town was also established during this period. Judge Wickersham made reference in his diary about Doc Metal, indicating a strong dislike for the man. Okay, now we understand the dominoes that fell, why Doc Metal is not, or Cyrus Metal is not the first, recognized as the first mayor. Metal also had an abrasive relationship with Edgar Wickersham, the judge's brother, who was a deputy U.S. Marshal in Fairbanks. Having these two powerful men as enemies did not bode well for Metal's future in politics. He did go on to serve one more term on the city council in 1905, and that appears to be the end of his political career. As time went on, Cyrus Metal worked at odd jobs and a few engagements in mining ventures. Long after Wickersham Brothers had left Fairbanks, Cyrus remained on the resident of Fairbanks. But as time passed, the old-timers died out. The memory of Metal was as the first mayor also appeared to fade away. When Cyrus Metal died on Christmas Day in 1946 at the age of 80, no mention of his early political career was mentioned in the articles regarding his life and death in Alaska. It was said at the time of his death that he was one of the oldest residents of the city and that he had the first drugstore here. All this left of Doc Metal is his grave with the Pioneers of Alaska marker on the Birch Hill Cemetery, the Clay Street Cemetery, which he ordered to be founded in October of 1903. So, Cyrus Metal, here's to you, first mayor of Fairbanks, and boy, political aspects erased you from the history books until now. So, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Your miraculous eyes gather the light and bring your world into focus. Movement, colors, the ones you love, the big picture, and the details. Care for the health of your eyes. Visit optometrist Dr. Damian Delzer, providing family practice with a strong emphasis on pediatric care and medical eye disease. Dr. Delzer is on your Eye Clinic of Fairbanks team of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians, providing complete medical and surgical eye care. Your eye health professionals on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
Get in the spirit with 50% off everything for a limited time during the holiday preview event. Now through November 13th at Banana Republic Factory. From merino wool sweaters to luxe outerwear, explore our favorite styles to give and to get.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. You need a partner you can count on. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
For matters in California, visit CordellCordell.com. 3 East 3rd Avenue, Suite 200, San Mateo, California, 94401.
Get in the spirit with 50% off everything for a limited time during the holiday preview event. Now through November 13th at Banana Republic Factory. From merino wool sweaters to luxe outerwear, explore our favorite styles to give and to get. KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 21. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, chance of snow, lows dip down to about 13. Chance of snow again tomorrow, highs level off around 21, cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Hopefully you're having a very nice Friday. A lot of people are off today. It is the holiday for Veterans Day. And then there's some of us who, we still do what we do. And I got up this morning at, well, I originally woke up at 4:30, then got out of bed at 6 because this Dalmatian beast was not just having any more of me sleeping in, and he had to get fed. So that's when my day started. And been down to City Hall, went and said hello to the wonderful ladies in the dispatch center. Did a lot of house cleaning this morning, some real estate work. And so I'm just having a great day. I hope you are too. You're going into a wonderful weekend. Lots of stuff going on. You're having the holiday out at the Carlson Center, your holiday premiere. Over 170 booths are going to be over there. It's a big one. This is the start of your bazaar season. And boy, now through about the week before Christmas, lots of good opportunities are for us. Fairbanks is fun. We're a standalone community. We do our own things, and it's enjoyable. So here's something for you. This is from the Fairbanks Weekly News on June 25th, 1904. The Fairbanks Weekly News didn't survive, I guess. But sort of tying a few things together here. The building, formerly owned by Dr. Metal's Drugstore, which is our first mayor, on First Avenue, has been purchased by the city and is now located on Third Avenue at the intersection of Turner Street. That's over there by Big Daddy's right there. The Children's Museum, right over there. The building is being used as a town hall. Anyway, then it says, 1 year later, there's a bit of a problem. Keep in mind that time in Fairbanks was less than 5 years old. And here we go. Here's the rest of the story. The city hall is taking on the airs of the Leaning Tower. It's settling on one side and already has a lopsided appearance from the outside. It is sagged to the side upon which the city council sits while holding its meetings. Some of the local punsters assert that the weight of their deliberations is to blame and suggest that they move the table to the other side, or else provide ballast sufficient to overcome the extra weight. At some future time, it will be up to the city council to provide a new city hall. The present one is a relic of pioneer days. This is 1905, but we got a call coming in. We're going to interrupt this message to take a call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what are you doing?
Well, I was just thinking about your history lesson there and appreciate that. And, of course, as we all know, gold was the foundation block of the creation of Fairbanks and the sustenance of Fairbanks. And that makes me think of the Manh Choh ore hauling project involving the trucks bringing it up from down south up to the Kinross Mill. And, of course, there's a lot of people that object to that. But I think that one way that people should try to get a better view of that and appreciate those trucks is to realize that that represents the foundation economic blocks of the economy of the interior, and we have certain economic foundational blocks for the interior, and that would be mining, you know, mineral mining, oil development, tourism, fishing, well, fishing down south, but actually the military, and federal spending like on highway dollars. That's what brings dollars in so that we can send dollars out to trade with the lower 48 and the rest of the world to get the supplies that we need to live, because we're not like in a biosphere that produces everything we need. We don't produce cars, we don't produce TV sets, and, you know, we don't produce any of that stuff. But what we do produce is those things I just mentioned. And so all the other businesses that sprout up come from those foundational building blocks, such as, you know, all the barbershops and restaurants and the grocery stores and everything. But those alone could not support us being here, except at a very low density and at a very impoverished level of living, unless we had those foundational blocks. So I think that people should appreciate those trucks. That not only reminds us of our gold-bearing history, but of what keeps us going. And those 95-foot-long vehicles that people are so worried about, they're exactly the same as the other 95-foot-long tractor-trailer vehicles with the lead trailer and the tail trailer, and there's no difference. And people just get into a mania sometimes, and their minds just simply amplify the something that's the size of an ant to the size of a muskox or something, you know, and people should get a better sense of perspective.
You know, a couple things. Joni Skillbred came in here about 2 months ago, and she did a radio program on the transportation through Fairbanks in 1975. What was special about 1975? The pipeline. Yep. And everything that came up from Valdez to Prudhoe Bay, going through Fairbanks, stopping in Fairbanks, the pipe yard, and they delivered here and then they distribute it from there. Now, think of Fairbanks in 1975. Mm-hmm. Vehicles were not nearly as well. The people who were driving these vehicles, these trucks, had never been up here before. And the roads were not nearly as good. I mean, you know, what is now the Old Steese Highway? Mm-hmm. They came through town on the Old Steese Highway and then went right into, you know, Tantera subdivision up there off the Old Steese. And I mean, right, that's what they did. And she put it in a very good way. You know, this, we're Fairbanks. This is, if you were here in 1975 and this is an issue you have now, we've been through this. This is Fairbanks. It's a boom town.
Yeah, and also those trucks, as I recall, they'd bring up 40-foot long, 4-inch, 4-foot diameter pipes for the pipeline. And then they'd
48 inches, yeah.
Then they'd weld the two pieces together. They'd have 80-foot long sections, long trucks that didn't even pivot in the middle to going around the curves, as I recall. And there was like a stack. There was two on the bottom and one on top, as I recall.
Yeah. Now, also, what they also have coming up from Valdez is these double trailers filled with aviation gas from Petrostar. Mm-hmm. And they bring them and they fill up their tanks over there off of Hanson Avenue. And so they have something probably heavier, more dangerous, and just as big already on the highway coming up from Valdez.
Yeah, and also I think one other little component of all the opposition, in my opinion, mm-hmm. there are a number of those people that are kind of the socialist, Marxist bent, and they just have a kind of an inbred animosity toward free enterprise companies, whereas if...
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. No, it's the people who are in opposition to this are a very diverse group.
You're right, but there are definitely left-wingers. It reminds me of when they were all up in a tizzy about the... intertie line, that they wanted to bring the second intertie line to complement the first one, mm-hmm. that they wanted to bring across the Tananaw Flats. Those people went into a manic, crazy mode to try to stop that, talking even about that it would hurt the fins, what's a fin? There's some kind of moss thing floating around. Mm-hmm. It has zero effect. In other words, totally out of perspective. Now that it's in, people don't even think about it, don't know about it.
I've got a story for you. Mm-hmm. I got a text from a very prominent Fairbanksan while I was traveling. And this person was very dismayed that Fairbanks had five police officers go over to the Carlson Center in regards to the protest. Had five police officers respond to the protest over there at the Carlson Center on a Saturday or Sunday on an event that was going over there, and they had one of the vehicles there. And so before I texted this person back, I called up my chief of staff. You know, what happened? He goes, oh, talk to your executive assistant. She is with the police doing a ride along that day. She is a paramedic with air and sea rescue certificate. So she's a very unique person, and she's Australian. And so I give her a call, and she's laughing. And first thing she said is, this is not mining equipment. This is Tonka toys compared to what I'm used to. And then she said how these people threw their bodies underneath the wheels, of this park vehicle. And she said, it's those type of people that in the 60s were burning their bras. So I was like, oh, my God. But that's what she said. And then she said, they had a police officer in the Carlson Center who was already there, and he is the first responder. Then a couple other people responded, which she was one. And then the deputy police chief came over and talked to the protesters off the ledge, said, look at we're not asking you to disperse your protest, but you have to go over to the sidewalk because that's public property. You can do whatever you want over there. And he was very nice and was able to do it. So no one went to jail. No one got hurt. No one got handcuffed. And my executive assistant thought that this is not even mining equipment.
And no doubt in Australia, they've got super long trailers with three long trailers in tandem being pulled down the highway, three of them.
Yeah. So, the city of Fairbanks, we looked at it and said, hold it. They don't touch a city street that we maintain. They don't touch a place that has a school, a school bus stop on it. And so Jerry Clearworth wrote a very good neutral resolution saying, we like mining, but we hope you take a second look at how you're going to deliver this. Mm-hmm. And, they're already in operations right now, and they're being sued. We'll see if they survive the suit. And, let everyone go through their, cycle on this. And I saw in the paper today that Willow was approved. We're talking economics now.
Oh, yeah.
The Willow Project, Judge Gleason didn't shut it down. And that sort of surprised me because she shut down a lot of items in Alaska. But I was happy with that. I was very happy. So we're a mining town. It's not as bad as 1975. There's other big things out there on the streets, but let everyone go through the process of their rights and do the due diligence.
Yeah. And thank you.
Okay. You take care, buddy. Bye. Back to our history of Fairbanks here. Okay. At some time in the future, it'll be up to the city council to provide a new city hall. The present one is a relic of pioneer days. It was a swell building when the town was younger, like 3 years earlier, and it was a federal courtroom used by Judge Wickersham. When the present-day courthouse was built and purchased, the city purchased an old log cabin and hauled it up to the present site. At that time, it was considered a great credit to the city. Sourdough furniture was installed, and the council met in spacious quarters. So, anyway, much different back then. Much different back then. In Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to have some bumper music, some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather. And it's a little bit wet out there, a little bit of rain, a little bit of snow, but it's supposed to get colder next week, so be prepared for that. And I'll be back in a bit. Oh! My oldest brother called up today, or texted me this morning. Here's one for you. He's got 29 inches of snow at his house in Anchorage. And he is wondering if Fairbanks could lend the city of Anchorage any graders for their snow plowing. And I said, no. See you in a bit.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The administration pushing Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to allow temporary pauses in the ground invasion for humanitarian support. Florida Congressman Mike Waltz on Fox Business.
This is the bitter pill the Israelis have come to conclude they have to swallow to continue aid, which they desperately need, especially military aid from the United States. But it really makes little sense tactically.
Israel has agreed to daily four-hour pauses in its invasion of Gaza. Netanyahu says no ceasefire comes until hostages are released by Hamas. Maryland will be the next home of the FBI headquarters, ending a years-long search for a new location. Governor Wes Moore.
There is absolutely no question that the FBI belongs in the state of Maryland, and it belongs in Prince George's County.
The project still expected to take years, and President Biden will meet Chinese President Xi Jinping next week. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska tribes are urging the U.S. Bureau of Land Management to keep protections in place for more than 28 million acres they say are critical to their way of life. The BLM is expected to release a draft environment impact statement next month on the effects of opening the acreage up to mining and extraction. Known as D1 lands, large parcels across the state were originally protected from development under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act more than 50 years ago. Eugene Paul is the tribal chief of Holy Cross and chairman of the Bering Sea Interior Tribal Commission. He says these lands are important for their food sources. 78 tribes wrote a letter to the BLM asking to keep safeguards for D1 lands in place, noting Alaska already is feeling the impacts of climate change and development could further erode tribes' way of life. For nearly two decades, the agency has submitted resource plans recommending lifting the protection for D1 lands. Frank Kachetag is president of the Village of Unalakleet and vice chair of the Bering Sea Interior Tribal Commission. He says tribes are fighting for their lands. He says if lands are damaged and the rivers polluted, his home will never be the same.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV, a motorcycle, a golf cart? Whatever moves you drives them. Stop in or shop online at batteriesplus.com.
It's dark, it's cold, and that snow's gonna start loading up on a couple of those trees hanging over your yard or house. You do know that Eric and his crew at Great Alaska Tree Company work year-round, right? Troublesome trees don't wait for summer, and neither should you. Winter's the worst time for tree damage to power lines, cars, and homes. Specializing in those tricky, hard-to-reach areas, licensed, bonded, and insured, it's Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Yeah, we're totally still dropping trees all winter long. Give us a call, 978-4702.
Hey, Interior Alaska. Having trouble hoisting yourself into your truck? Auto Trim Design has a huge selection of running boards, Nerf bars that'll take the acrobatics out of getting into your truck. Having trouble keeping stuff from flying out of your truck bed? Auto Trim Design has a huge selection of tonneaus. Soft, hard, folding, roll-up, gear nets, and Lear or ARE toppers. See us today at Auto Trim Design, where we will be here when the other guys are gone.
The world's only all-female Journey cover band is coming to Fairbanks. She Clips will be rocking the spur on Veterans Day, Friday, November 10th. You'll fall stone in love with She Clips. She Clips faithfully pays tribute to the band who created the soundtrack to our lives. VIP tickets are available for only $35, which includes priority seating, meet and greet, and more. General admission just $25. Any way you want it, She Clips will capture the hearts of every Journey fan. Doors open at 6:30 for VIP and 7 p.m. for general admission. This is a 21 and up show. Don't stop believing in the magic of She Clips, the world's only female Journey tribute band. Get your tickets now at aktickets.com. She Clips, Friday, November 10th at the Spur. The show is brought to you by RNDC Alaska, the Westmark, and the radio station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prus in the studio on this nice Friday. A little bit wet out there with snow, so please be careful. It's very slick out there. And drive a little bit slower, stop a little bit sooner, and get home fine or get to wherever you're going fine without accident or injury. Now, again, United States Marine Corps, it's your birthday. On this day in 1775, you were founded. And, boy, overall, there's no other military service like you. You are self-contained, air, sea, land, mobile. You have every portion of a military unit in you. And there's no one like you, so congratulations. Tomorrow's Veterans Day on the 11th hour, on the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. The Great War ended. The armistice went into place. Congratulations to both my grandfathers. My grandfather on the Prue side was in the Navy. My grandfather on the Tenalia side was in the U.S. Army. And they served in our armed forces at that time. So even though it was 100 and some years ago, I still think of it. So now here's one for you. This is from the Fairbanks Daily News Miner on May 11th, 1909. And prisoners of the Municipal Bastille, this is the heading. Prisoners in the Municipal Bastille hereafter will work out on the snags. Oh, boy. Municipal Judge Taylor has enlisted in an anti-stump for the lovely city crusade, and soon, right soon, judging from yesterday's cleanup, his office and station will be represented by a legion of snag eradications and root removers. Judge Taylor has long been troubled over the question, quote, what are we to do with the city prisoners to keep them sound of wind and hard of muscle, unquote. Whether it was after reading the News Miner, these of indisposed thoroughfares and hernia-afflicted alleys, or the thought came to him of form a new, bright, new inspiration, Judge Taylor suddenly hit upon this new plan a few days ago. Violators of municipal laws will hereafter be made to compensate the city for the blow at its fair reputation by donating their labor toward the end of the leveling streets and clearing odd sections of the town site reserved for public use. Chief O'Connor fell right in line with the idea and pledged himself to share this downward as toward the establishment of efficient corps of axemen of the Commonwealth. This was a state of mind which Robert Dixon said, God bless you. Connor's two-piece busters confronted when they lined up in the dockyard yesterday morning. Ooh. Okay. Dixon's case was a simple drunken disorderly affair, and he drew the penalty of 7 days in the stumplands. O'Connor's was in worse trouble. Many will recall him as one of the cat of like gentle requests for a quarter with which to buy refreshments. Given a quarter, his usual response was, God bless you. He repeated so often that the introductory provision was clamped upon him. Yesterday, therefore, he was found berserkly and beastly drunk. It meant trouble. Connors was stubborn, and his trial yesterday morning, refusing to divulge name for him from whom the liquor was obtained. The judge quizzed him patiently for a while, but with no result, and Mr. Connors was told the little stories of the stumps, and the invitation he could not dodge for a 20-day session threat imposed upon him. Get the axe, commanded Chief O'Connor to Patrolman Kelly as Connors passed out fresh, pure atmosphere. Ed Kelly got two nice, weighty ones, as thus was founded the first squad of axemen for the Commonwealth. All members of the police force have been commissioned as recruiting officers, and they will overlook no opportunity for enlistments thereafter. Judge Taylor is high dispenser of tracts to be cleared. As no applications were filed yesterday, he directed the first to be undertaken on Lower First Avenue in the neighborhood of St. Matthew's Hospital. If that happened to be a finish too early for the good of the rookies, the chief was ordered to keep them cutting ab lib wherever stump or snag protruded from the ground. Okay. Well, that's a, you know, sort of like the chain gang, I would think, but okay, what the heck? You have some stuff to do. And now, be careful going in your Eielson. Just got some texts. A military vehicle flipped on the side in the ditch. So please be careful out there. It's this is the type of weather where you got snow or rain that becomes snow. It hits the ground. It hits the streets. Gets compressed, becomes ice, becomes black ice. So be careful out there when you do that. Okay, here's another little missive from the Fairbanks Daily Times of July 30th, 1915. And the headline, again, we're going through Fairbanks history here. The headline is, horses will be replaced soon by auto stage. Okay. What a difference a century makes. To keep abreast of the times and give the best service possible between Fairbanks and the coast, the Northern Commercial Company will use automobiles instead of horses whenever possible. Volney Richmond, superintendent of the company, stated yesterday, the automobiles have been ordered and would arrive in Fairbanks before the close of navigation. They're bringing them up by boat. The first stages, which are to leave in early October, will be automobiles. The cars will go through the coast and will continue to make the run carrying express mail passengers as late as possible. In the middle of the winter, when it's difficult or impossible to get autos over the summit, horses will be used for part of the distance. After carefully studying various makes of cars, the company decided that the most practical automobile for use on the trail is a Jeffrey Quad. The company ordered that make. The cars will be arranged that they can accommodate passengers and carry mail express without difficulty. For some of the heavy freighting, the company ordered some new wagons also, which will be used with horses over the part of that trail. To facilitate the handling of the mail when it's brought down the river in a small boat, the company is building a launch, which will be ready in use next fall. The launch will also be used for towing the poling boats up the river. With automobiles, both passengers and mail will be able to make better times to and from the states. Okay. Now, the Fairbanks Daily Times on July 25th, 1915. This is when we're coming into the part of Fairbanks where we're leaving the horses and the oxes and the donkeys. We're coming into vehicles. July 25th, 1950, the Fairbanks Daily Times. Through the Northern Commercial Company, the city council ordered an automobile yesterday, which is to be used as a fire truck. So there's our first vehicle in the city of Fairbanks, owned by the city of Fairbanks. For more than a year, the council has been considering the advisability of purchasing an automobile fire truck. And after carefully studying the good and bad features of the various makes, the members decided that a Jeffrey Quad would be most suitable. The car will not be quite as heavy as the trucks brought in for Egan and Griffin or for F.C. Clinton, but they will have more speed. According to the present plans of the council, the truck will be used as a horse cart will be replace the heavy team of horses. It is possible for a lighter car to be purchased next year to replace the horses of the chemical wagon. The Jeffrey Quad, landed in Fairbanks, will cost approximately $3,600, and the council expects that it will pay for itself in little more than a year. Well, how about that? In the city budget this year, this when it's approved, I've already approved a purchase of a fire truck in the amount of $650,000. So put in an extra couple zeros with that comma, and boy, it's 100 times more expensive. Okay. One more truck story before we're done here. City Council rejects a truck. Fairbanks Daily Times, December 14th, 1915. Upon the recommendation of the fire committee, the council last evening rejected the fire truck, which was ordered last summer through the agency of the Northern Commercial Company, and which had arrived in Fairbanks on one of the last boats of the season. When the truck was ordered, the specifications that it would be able to run from 20 to 25 miles per hour. When the truck arrived in Fairbanks, it would make little more than 10 miles per hour. For some time, the committee did not make its final report, as it was hoped the car would show up better on a second test. Owing to circumstances, however, the car was never tried out again. At the time the council ordered the car, $1,000, $29,000 in today, in cash was paid on it. In rejecting it last night, the clerk was instructed to allow the company to apply the $1,000 on a number of warrants which it holds against the city. So, in lieu of fines, they gave him credit. That was the story of our first fire truck in the city of Fairbanks. How about that? Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We choose to live in Alaska. Yeah, it gets cold, but that's just part of it. The ice and snow, the price of fuel, we can't control them. So we prepare. We reduce our net cost with a new Blaze King wood stove and a shed full of dry firewood. With a smaller carbon footprint than oil or natural gas, it's better for the environment. Check out the Blaze King wood stoves at the Woodway. Be prepared. Whatever comes, the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
Get in the spirit with 50% off everything for a limited time during the holiday preview event. Now through November 13th at Banana Republic Factory. From merino wool sweaters to luxe outerwear, explore our favorite styles to give and to get.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. You need a partner you can count on. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
For matters in California, visit CordellCordell.com. 3 East 3rd Avenue, Suite 200, San Mateo, California, 94401.
Get in the spirit with 50% off everything for a limited time during the holiday preview event. Now through November 13th at Banana Republic Factory. From merino wool sweaters to luxe outerwear, explore our favorite styles to give and to get.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today with highs around 21. Winds out of the north around 5 miles an hour. 12 tonight. Cloudy. Highs level off around 19. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Low teens Sunday, turning much warmer Monday, with highs in the low 20s and snow. That's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prusen, Stewie here. We're going through our birthday. 120 years ago today, Fairbanks was founded as a city of Fairbanks. So reading some missives back in the day and sort of like a transition from a mining little town or a mining camp to a city. Now, by the early 1920s, more and more automobiles were arriving in Fairbanks. That meant, guess what? We needed some traffic laws as they arrived. Fairbanks was probably changing from a log cabin town to modern community that could accommodate automobiles. And so I'm going to read you a Newsminer 1921 June 17th story. And says the headlines were, City Dads Were Busy. The session of last Tuesday evening was a busy one for the city dads. And I think they were talking about city council. Following the meeting with the delegation of citizens concerning matters pertaining to City Beautiful and Sanitary, the councilmen buckled into a stack of routine work. Two lots were sold. The park board granted a loan of $500 to be using preparing the park and racetrack in shape for the 4th of July celebration. The money to be returned from the proceeds of gate receipts, and a $1,200 appropriation was made available to the street committee for the purpose of graveling the city streets. The health committee recommended to the council that the 6th Avenue Slough, oh my goodness, which has always been a source of troubles to the health committee, be opened for the dumping of clean refuse. It's a plan of the committee to have a slough partially filled with refuse, then covered with soil in order to eliminate one of the town's most threatening nuisances. The usual bills were read, the communications acted upon, a resolution aimed to check the automobile nuisance, that of open mufflers while driving through town or when the cars were running while parked, was drawn up and passed. It was also decided that the ordinance concerning speeding within the city limits shall henceforth be rigidly enforced. The speed limit is 12 miles, and the maximum fine is $50. The new ordinance governing automobiles is as follows. Ordinance number 240. I think now we're at 6,700. But anyway, be it ordained that the mayor and common council, it wasn't the city council back then, it was the common council, of the town of Fairbanks, that section 1 of the ordinance 196 be the same as hereby amended to read as follows. Section 1, that it will be unlawful for any persons, company, or corporation to run and operate in the town of Fairbanks any woodsaw, engine, motor car, truck, automobile, motorcycle, or other vehicle propelled or driven by gasoline motive powered by internal combustion and emitting loud explosive sounds without such engine, woodsaw, car, truck, automobile, motorcycle, or vehicle being equipped with a muffler of sufficient size and capacity to deaden the noise of the exhaust, therefore. Now, the old slough that they filled in is probably parking lots today. List of vehicles specifically named the ordinance. You can get an idea of the woodsaws were a problem. Today you can see some of those woodsaws on display at the Pioneer Museum there at Pioneer Park. The old Dodge was outfitted with a large saw blade that ran off the engine of an automobile. The car would drive to the customer's home and cut delivered six foot wood to whatever length was needed to fit the stove in the customer's home. This service was performed on a regular basis, usually once a week. This cutting history nugget has been partially brought up by Men's Eagle Number 4 and Eagle Number 8. So, interesting history. After all, we're 120 years old today. Now, here's a letter to the editor on October 16th, 1931. And boy, our letters to the editor have not changed a bit. Thank goodness. It was with no small degree of satisfaction that last night I read a report of action of the city council in regard to your persistent and unwarranted nagging on the street lighting question. The council is absolutely right, and I'm delighted to say you are adequately squelched. To properly light the city streets would cost money, and as mayor remarked, they have plenty of other uses for those money. So why waste it on services? It's taxpayers' business to furnish the money, and the council business to spend it. Anyway, it goes a long way. This is letters from yours truly, A. Kidder. How about that? We're going to take a call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Do you mind if I change the subject a bit since the show's...
Certainly. Go ahead.
Well, if you may recall, I phoned you at home 2 or 3 weeks ago because the sports station was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the geezer category, and I don't get TV where I live. I'm just around the side of a gravel pit where signal doesn't reach, and my internet is very bad and on. But anyway, I'm happy with radio sports, which I grew up with. And your sports station has been very deficient for several years. Either it's dead or... Anyway, you were very helpful in calling Perry Wally to go down and put the station back on. And when he did, the sports station got the... You got two modes. You got, live broadcast, and you got the background, what I call sports babble broadcasts. And so he switched it on, but it was the sports babble, so I called you back, and then you called Perry, who was still at the station, and he switched it over to the live game. And, I understand now that you've actually got a sports director at the station, you know, KCPF. And, you know, I think, you know, the people that are listening to Problem Corner are AM radio people. And, you know, although I don't care for most of the programming that's on your AM stations, and I'm not a rock music, you know, new age music fan for your FM stations, I do like to listen to live sports on weekends or whenever it's on. And your station has just done a terrible job of seeing that happen. And if you got a sports director, I mean, it seemed to me that you could set up some kind of remote system so the sports director just listens to see what's on, and it's not on, you know, it's on the babble instead of the game. He can hit a switch or something and switch it over remotely. Anyway, that's just an idea. I think there's probably a lot of callers that identify with what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate what you said. I wasn't aware of that. I listen to the river only. But like you said, this radio station has 8 radio stations and it provides a service.
Yeah.
And when you called me at my house on a Sunday, within 30 seconds, Perry Wally was on it. You called me, I called him.
It's Perry.
Yeah.
There's only one Wally left, and that's Perry.
Right? Yeah. And so, and again, he almost got it. He got it right after your second phone call. But it's calls like this that make you reexamine how you provide a service. So I'll go in and talk with Perry and ask him to actually listen to the last 5 minutes of this program.
Yeah, well, actually, I was talking to your lovely receptionist the other day, and, you know, it's like, you know, this has been going on for 15, I've been calling for 15 years.
Oh, goodness.
I don't want to listen to these, you know, babble heads, you know, talking sports when all they have to do is flip a switch. They don't pay for all the games. I mean, there's going to be an occasional game missed because, you know, it's not part of your Westwood coverage or whatever. But anyway, when something should be on and it's not, you know, I lay that strictly on your sports director. Used to be Glenner, you know. But now it's somebody else that I don't know who that is. But anyway, you know, get your act together on sports.
Well put, well said, and it sounds like it's well needed, too. Okay.
Bye.
Well, I appreciate the phone call, and maybe one day again when Fox opens up, we'll meet again and have a beer. Anyway, you can take one final phone call for the day. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning. It's Kaya calling back, checking on your work.
Kaya, I've not been able to get in touch with them yet. I'll give her a call probably on Monday.
Okay.
And find out where that camp is going. That's, you know, I know it's a camp now, so I got to find out where it's going.
Okay, because I'm always waiting till the end. I hate to interrupt you during your information and stories, which are always wonderful. But I will try you again next week.
Okay, Kai, you take care. Good talking to you. Bye.
All right, have a good weekend. Bye.
Yep. All right. Well, Fairbanks, that's basically the close of our show. A letter to the editor from A. period Kidder, K-I-D-D-E-R. But he did say, very truly. So a little bit of history. Congratulations, Fairbanks. 120 years ago today, you're incorporated as a city. And congratulations to the Marine Corps on this day in 1775. You were created. Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you on Monday.